hottest morning show, The Breakfast Club.
Man, what the hell is this, man?
Breakfast Club, bitches.
I'm glad they put y'all together. Y'all are like a mega force. Y'all just took over every...
Wake your punk ass up.
This Chris Brown. I've officially joined The Breakfast Club. Say something, mother...
I'm with it.
The world's most dangerous morning show. Breakfast Club, bitches.
Yo, it's Friday.
Good morning, Angela Yee.
Good morning, DJ Envy.
And yes, it is Friday.
It's day two of my detox. Yesterday, I started my 14-day detox with the Detox Now.
How's it going?
It was rough yesterday. I wasn't really hungry, but I realized a lot of activities I do center around eating.
Right.
Like, I had to go meet my friend Kim, and I was like, what are we going to do? I can't eat or drink. So
no.
We went and got pedicures. But just throughout the day, I was walking past a lot of food places. I hadn't eaten anything. And I was like, man,
you and your male friend went and got pedicures?
Akim. She's a woman.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
Yes. Okay. And you know Akim.
No, I don't.
All right. Anyway, so I did that yesterday. And then people definitely look like food as they walk past. One person turned into a chicken leg.
Really?
Mm-hmm. You really do get hungry, but this is day two of my detox, so...
First 3 days are usually the toughest, and then it gets a little easier and a little easier, but the first couple of days is always rough.
And it's not like a juice cleanse or anything. It's a real detox, so all I can have is coconut water if I start feeling dizzy and lightheaded, but it's got to be pure, organic coconut water, and then I'm drinking this distilled water and taking these herbal supplements under my tongue.
Nah, B, if you pass out, we're going to put some real food in your mouth. We're going to give you some cookies.
Envy.
What?
Don't you do that.
What?
Whew. All right. So anyway, happy Chinese New Year. Today is Chinese New Year as well. It is the year of the dog.
Okay.
Kong Hei Fa Choi. That's what
Kong
you
have to... Kong Hei. Say it again.
Kong Hei Fa Choi.
Kong Hei Fa Choi.
Okay, forget it.
All
yes,
right.
But it is the year of the dog. So happy Chinese New Year.
Happy Chinese New Year. Now, I'm still out in L.A. All-Star Weekend kicked off really yesterday. So this is where it got a little crazy. So yesterday, shout to the Migos. I did the Migos party. They had a party at the Capitol building out in L.A. And then after that, I flew over to Baller Alert. They had like a charity event at World of Wheels, which is a roller skating rink. So then we did that. And then I closed it out with an event with Remy Martin and Adidas. Next top on stage, and Next started performing. It was kind of dope. Next started doing songs they didn't necessarily do.
What do you mean they didn't do?
I don't think they wrote. They didn't write Pony, right?
No, that's Genuine.
I know, but they performed it.
Okay, it's a big song. Why not? Get some, you know.
Then they performed Just In Case, I Don't Make It Home Tonight. They performed that.
That's my song, too.
That was Jaheim's though song, wasn't it?
Yeah, they were performing
a bunch of songs that
so
wasn't
there. Like, so you're saying they did some covers?
Yes, which was weird, but okay. They still rocked it, so shout out to Next. They want to come on the show, so I said, sure. So that was day one of the crazy All-Star events. And last night was also the Global Spin Awards.
You were nominated.
I was nominated 6 times. The stuff that they did on air, because it was taped, no DJ that works at our station won. So, not me, not Self, not Clue, not Pro Style.
Well,
no,
we work at many stations, too.
Well, our New York station, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
No DJs won. I think Khaled won 2 awards.
So, you got nominated 6 times and didn't win?
Yeah, I feel like Jay-Z at the Grammys.
I knew you were going to say that. Okay.
I feel like Jay-Z at the Grammys. But there's still awards that they say they might announce, so maybe I'll win or not. But I didn't go, so I didn't feel as bad. But I know Self didn't win. I know Khaled won 2. I think Camilo, shout to him, he won 1. Charisma out in L.A., she won 1. And that's what
you didn't win because you didn't go.
That's what you think?
Yeah.
I think that, too.
All right.
No, I really think that because usually every year they say, Envy, you're going to be there, you're going to be there. And I'm like, yeah.
And you're actually in L.A. It's kind of disrespectful. Support your fellow DJs.
I had shows to do. I got 5 kids. I got to make sure this money continues to come in.
All right.
Well, let's get the show cracking. Front page news, what are we talking about?
We are going to give you an update on what happened in Parkdale, Florida. At Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School, we'll give you some updates on what actually happened behind the scenes from eyewitnesses. And also, rest in peace, they have identified many of the people who have been killed.
And also, Bokeem Woodbine will be joining us this morning. Now, he co-starred in a movie with me years ago. And
you were the star of that?
Well, yeah, I was the star. I'm going to take that. I was the star. Yes, I was.
Co-star? Are you sure?
Maybe. Maybe I just was in his
movie. You had a role because it looked like you were in and out.
Yeah, that was my only part. That part I posted yesterday on Instagram, that was it. After that, I was no longer in the movie.
That's not a co-starring role.
I felt like a co-star. I thought I did a pretty good job.
You had a role, but you were not co-starring.
Okay.
Woodbine might have been starring in the movie.
All right. Well, anyway, we're going to kick it with him a little bit later. And Front Page News is next. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. It's Friday! It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Let's get in some Front Page News. Now, let's talk about everything that's going down in Florida.
Right. After the deadly shooting in which 17 people were killed in Parkland, Florida, we are looking to see what is Donald Trump going to say or do about this, because gun control is certainly an issue, because the killer, 19-year-old Nicholas Cruz, was able to get his AR-15 legally last year. So what are we doing about gun control laws? Well, Donald Trump did address the deadly massacre, but he did not talk about gun control. Here's what he said.
We are committed to working with state and local leaders to help secure our schools and tackle the difficult issue of mental health.
Right. So just mental health is what he addressed. Now, one of the women, Lori Alhadef, her 14-year-old daughter, Alyssa, was one of the 17 people killed during that school shooting, had this to say.
President Trump, you say, what can you do? You can stop the guns from getting into these children's hands. Put metal detectors at every entrance to the schools. What can you do? You can do a lot. This is not fair to our families that our children go to school and have to get killed. President Trump, please do something. Action. We need it now. These kids need safety now.
I mean, I agree with her. Something needs to get done. I mean, these kids shouldn't be able to buy weapons like that easily, especially at a young age, because they're still emotional. I mean, grown-ass men are still emotional, and to have that much power, an assault rifle that can shoot 45 rounds per a minute.
And just the fact that he had been reported to the FBI, he had been flagged for YouTube comments that he made, his social media, there were a lot of posts that he was putting on there about killing people. That should be enough for you to not be able to obtain a weapon.
Now, don't get it twisted. I'm an avid gun owner. Like, I own a bunch of guns, but there is no way in hell anybody should own an AR-15. Like, you're not going to shoot duck. You're not going to shoot deer, bear. There's nothing that you need to shoot. That's a military weapon that should be kept for military. You don't need that weapon. Yes, I have one, but I just have one because I can. Like, but I should need, nobody should have that weapon.
And one of the people that was killed, one of the 17 people, was a football coach, Aaron Face. He is a hero. He was protecting others at the high school when that former student allegedly opened fire. They said he was a beloved football coach. He was well known in the local community, and he was ushering kids into the classroom. Mm-hmm. And he ended up, as he was saving those children's lives, getting killed. And there was another student, 17-year-old junior ROTC student, that helped shield dozens of students. Actually, Colton Hobb had training, and he was able to usher about 60 to 70 kids into a classroom and hide them behind a sheet, behind a solid object. And that was all because of his training that he had, so that it could slow any bullets down. So fortunately, they all made it out.
All right,
I'm Angela Yee, and that is your Front Page News.
All right, get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you're upset, you need to vent, hit us up right now. Maybe you had a bad night, a bad morning, and you just need to vent, or if you want to spread some positivity, 800-585-1051. You can get it off your chest. You can tell us why you're blessed. Phone lines are wide open. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Pick up the mother phone and dial.
This is your time to get it off your chest, whether you're mad or blessed.
Say it with your chest.
We want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
So you better have the same energy.
Yeah.
Hello, who's this?
What's up? This King Fresh from the Midwest.
What's up, bro? Get it off your chest.
Man, listen, I'm sorry because I just heard that clip. And y'all talking, and that lady's talking about they need to put metal detectors at each entrance. I've been out of school 10 years. Man, they've been searching our bags in the urban community. They've been going through our bags, finding guns, finding knives and stuff. We know as the urban community, do not take a weapon to school, period. Or that's your ass, flat out. Feel me? So we, the Caucasian people, need to get their kids under control, not being racist or nothing. But they need to just get the kids with the mental health. You know your kid crazy running around in Walmart. You need to whoop his ass. then and there, period.
Well, first of all, I mean, mental health is not, it's white, it's black, it's Asian, it has nothing to do with skin color. And also, I don't know if you know, but he lost his parents, he was adopted, and then his adopted parents died. So, I mean,
Yes, sir. You ain't gonna let neither one of your five kids run around Walmart screaming, yelling, going crazy, throwing temper tantrums, throwing everything in the aisles all everywhere. You're not gonna do that.
Nope.
You weren't raised like that. You feel me? It's about where you were raised to from the get-go.
Listen, no matter what, it's a tragic situation that needs to be addressed, and they have to figure out what to do to protect our kids when they're in school. All of them.
And you're right. We did have metal detectors in some of the schools, especially in the urban community. Andrew Jackson, which was my zone school in Queens, had the first metal detectors, but we need to make sure our kids are secure in high school, in colleges, because it just doesn't happen in middle school. It happens in middle school, happens in high schools, happens in colleges. We just got to protect them better. Hello, who's this?
This is DJ from Valdosta, Georgia. What's going on, Breakfast Club?
What's up, bro? Get it off your chest.
Yeah, man, I'm happy. I'm blessed that I'm alive to see another day, but I'm also mad because they're trying to make this whole shooting a mental health thing, and they're trying to bring in his background to make it seem like, oh, that's what caused him. No, he should be held accountable for his actions, because if it was anybody else, they wouldn't bring up none of that stuff.
Well, he is being charged with 17 counts of murder.
I understand that, but they're trying to deflect from the issue.
What's the issue?
They're trying to say because his mom had the flu and all this, it's a trickle-down effect.
I agree with you. I think it's some bullcrap. The kid got a gun and he killed all these people. I mean,
and I think even if you look at his social media, because they've been posting things from his social media, they said that he is a racist professional school shooter. So, you know, that is I think part of that is also them looking into the background of things that he's been posting that should have been red flags for everybody.
Absolutely. Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you're upset, you need to vent, hit us up right now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Wake up, wake up.
Wake your ass.
This is your time to get it off your chest. Whether you're mad or blessed, we want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
Hello, who's this?
This is Jonathan from North Carolina.
Jonathan, good morning. Get it off your chest, bro.
Yeah, I just wanted to say something about what you just said about the guns. You said you own plenty of guns, and you also own an AR-15.
Correct.
But then you said nobody should own that gun. So how did that sound? That sounded crazy.
No, I said I'm an avid gun owner, and I own an AR-15. But
yeah,
I don't.
You said nobody should have that gun.
I don't think anybody should have that gun. I think the AR-15 should be banned. That's what I honestly feel.
So he's saying, why do you own it?
I own that gun because absolutely. If they ban it, I absolutely will. The reason I own it is because other people own it, and I got to be able to protect myself if anything ever happens or anybody ever runs in my house. But if I know nobody else has that AR-15, I don't need it. But I feel like guns should be banned.
Right?
Excuse me?
A pistol will protect you, right?
A pistol will protect me. I got a couple of those, too.
Okay. And banning the guns ain't going to stop people from getting killed. People get killed texting and driving every day, drinking and driving, all of that.
I don't want to ban guns. I just want to ban semi-automatic weapons. What do we need an AR-15 for?
If you're in the military.
Yeah, and military needs it. A civilian doesn't need that type of weapon.
I really think it should be harder for people to be able to get their guns anyway, to get licenses, to be able to obtain guns, period.
No, it's very easy. All you got to have is a clean record. And no violent anything on your records, and you get money, which is crazy.
Right.
Hello, who's this?
Hi, my name is Keisha.
Hey, Keisha, get it off your chest.
So I have a question and kind of a comment with something that you just said.
Mm-hmm.
Envy, I'm talking to.
Sure.
So you don't think that anyone should have an assault rifle, but then you made a comment that you do have one. I think it's kind of contradictory.
Okay, let me explain it. I just explained it to the guy before you. I purchased the AR-15 when I found out that when I seen that all these shootings were happening, and I purchased one to protect myself. That's why I purchased one. Do I think they should be banned? Absolutely. If they ban it, I'll get rid of mine tomorrow. But the way these kids and an 18-year-old can have an AR-15 and run up in my house, I have to be able to protect myself, and I can't protect myself with a BB gun. I have to be able to protect myself with the same type of weapon that they're using to possibly rob me, possibly hurt my family, or possibly anything. So yes, I have one to protect my family. But I do think they should be banned, because I don't think any civilian needs an AR-15.
Okay. That part, I definitely do agree with you on. I mean, I think it should be banned totally, but I just needed clarity. I didn't hear the last comment with the last guy, so
Okay.
For that clarity. And I can understand that for sure. I was just like, wait, that doesn't make sense.
No, I think they should be banned, but if people are allowed to have them and somebody runs up in my crib, I got to be able to protect myself with the same type of weapon that they're using against me. All right. Well, get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you're upset, you need to vent, you can hit us up anytime. Yee, we got rumors on the way?
Yes, we are going to talk about LeBron. He was on Carrie Champion's show, Rolling with the Champion, and he has some things to say about knowing why his money doesn't matter when it comes to his race.
All right. We'll get into all that when we come back. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Everybody, it's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Let's get to the rumors. Let's talk LeBron James.
Listen up.
It's just in.
All the gossip. The rumor report.
Gossip.
With Angela Yee.
It's the rumor report.
The Breakfast Club.
So LeBron was on Carrie Champion's show, Rolling with the Champion. It was him and Kevin Durant. And he talked about that incident when his house was defaced back in 2017 in Brentwood. Somebody tagged his house with the N-word while he was away with his family.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what he had to say.
I'm a black man with a bunch of money and having a crib in Brentwood and having the word nigger spray painted over my gate. That lets you know I ain't too far removed. No matter how far money or access or how you become in life as an African-American man, female, they will always try to figure out a way to let you know that you're still beneath them. You either cave in to that notion or you just chalk it up and say, you know what? I'm gonna paint over this goddamn gate and I'm gonna make it taller.
All right, now that's a great attitude.
Right.
All right, now let's discuss the Roots Picnic. That is going down. Actually, tickets are on sale today starting at noon, but that's going to be happening June 2nd.
And then there's more than music this year, I see. They're doing podcasts. They're doing a whole bunch of things, huh?
Yeah, they have a podcast stage. They have a lifestyle stage with the Madden and NBA 2K tournament.
That's dope.
Fashion, art panels, all of that. They have a market. But the headliners, the Roots, are going to be having their jam session. It'll be hosted by Dave Chappelle with special guests. And if you've ever been to a Roots jam session, you know you never know who might come through. Also on the music stage is Lil Uzi Vert, Dirty Projectors, The Diplomats, 2 Chainz, Black Division, Brandy, Black Thought, J Period, Fab, and Jadakiss, Rhapsody, Rich the Kid. It's going to be pretty awesome. Goldman Kid Capri is going to be there, DJ Drama, Gangsta Grills. So get ready for all of that.
That's going to be dope.
Yeah, I see Questlove. Drink Champ is going to be there too as well. So that should be fun.
Mm-hmm.
All right, congratulations to Melanie Fiona. Her boyfriend, who she has a child with also, actually proposed on Valentine's Day. Now, he posted a picture of himself on one knee and said she said yes. And she said that time you and Cam planned a whole fake family photo shoot as a disguise to capture my forever in the making. So I guess he planned a photo shoot, but the part, the real thing was that he was about to propose to her, and he did. So they had pictures capturing all of that.
Oh, that's dope.
Beautiful, right?
That's dope.
And Ciara and Russell Wilson have posted pictures of their 9-month-old baby, Sienna Princess. The pictures were taken by Russell Wilson, and he posted it on their fan app. They have a fan app called Trace Me. So super cute pictures of their baby. And Georgia Rain, that's Michael Blackson's ex, she did an open letter. She said she found out that her boyfriend, Michael Blackson, cheated on her with multiple women, and now she is talking to herself and other women. She said she will bounce back better than ever. She said, this is the last time I will address my ex. Let this be a lesson to all. Last year, Valentine's Day, I was engaged to a man I've been with publicly for 2.5, almost 3 years, or was it almost four? Happiest girl in the world, wrong. Later to find out that all of the DMs, fake acts, leaving comments about him cheating were true. Not just with 3 or 4, but with multiple women. Thanks to messy-ass blogs for exposing his D online. It changed my life for the worse. So I thought. Then she goes on to say she realized you can never do enough or be enough for a man when he's not mentally strong enough and has never experienced a woman of your pedigree. So he said, bitch, she said, bitch, I'm coming back like Ciara. Tonight I'm celebrating with my girls. Happy Valentine's Day. Love y'all. Yes, I cashed out on the ring.
Okay.
There you go. Open letter from Georgia Rain, Michael Blackson's ex. I'm Angela Yee, and that is your rumor report.
All right. Thank you, Miss Yee. Now, when we come back, we're going to kick it with actor Bokeem Woodbine.
You co-starred in a movie with him.
You said it yourself. Yeah, I co-starred in a movie with him, and I'm sure we'll talk about that. So keep it locked, Bokeem Woodbine. When we come back, it's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We got a special guest in the building, actor
Bakeem Woodbine.
Peace.
And Envy definitely sent us all a video clip of him in a movie with you.
Yeah, yo, that's
I've known him
dude.
For 7 years. No, a little longer. Maybe about a decade. I've heard him tell his story about being in a movie with you at least 100 times.
And you punked him so bad in that movie.
Nah.
You did. I mean, it was the role.
Right. Now, he held his own, though.
No, he didn't.
No, he didn't.
He was terrible.
Not that role.
He was so bad acting. What you mean? You gonna steal from me.
Oh, what was the name of that movie? Envy. Oh, wow.
Heat?
No, nah, that was called, it was called, you know, I needed some bread. that was the title. That was literally the title. I'm down on my luck. I need some bread real fast.
Now, speaking of that, is it true that the reason you got into acting was because you wanted to pay for a tattoo?
Indeed. I wanted to get Africa on my arm, which I was successful in doing. And the casting director, Jackie Brown Carmen, she was instrumental in bringing a lot of people into the light, as it were. And, you know, she saw something in me, I guess, and she said, you know, let me get your information after I did my little extra job. And I gave her my math, and then she called me a year and a half later. So I was 19, you know, still living at the crib with moms, not really pulling my weight. I was a bum, basically. And, you know, she caught me at a good time. And she asked me if I wanted to come down to open call. Mm-hmm. And I had two tokens, like one to get down there, want to get back home. That was like all the money I had in the world, you know what I mean? And so I hopped the train, of course.
Keep it New York.
You know what I mean? And then, you know, went all the way down there, and I met with a blase blah, make a long story short. After a month of going back and forth, I ended up landing the gig. That was my first job.
And it was the movie Juice.
Nah, Strap. Juice was the...
Strap was before Juice.
Yeah,
Juice was before Strap.
You met Juice the director at Juice, and right. Then she casted you in Strapped.
Correct.
I watched Strapped over and over like a million times back then.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Well, first of all, did we say we're talking to Bokeem Woodbine?
Yeah. Okay. We said Bokeem Woodbine is here.
No, right. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't remember you in Juice.
Well, I mean, you wouldn't see me, you know what I mean? Because I was like an extra.
Oh, all right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. The way they talk about it was like, I'm like, I don't remember about Juice.
I was Tretch's stand-in back in the day.
Really?
I used to have dreads. And for whatever reason, they said I kind of favored them. So they were like, hey, you kind of look a little bit like Tretch, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, who's that? You know, and they were like, you want to stand in for him? And I was like, am I still getting paid? And they were like, yeah, you get paid more. So I was like, let's do it.
You get paid more?
Yeah, I got a little pay bump.
And so then you got the tattoo.
Yeah, indeed. Right away.
Was your mom like, can you get your own place first and before you get a tattoo? Damn.
Exactly, right? Yeah, no, those were tough times. You know.
How much was the tattoo?
It was like $75.
And how much did you get paid from Juice?
Like $125.
Damn, so you had $50 for some pizza or whatever.
But that must have been a fun movie to make, too. Like, because you actually, your first two gigs, like even being a stand-in on Juice and then going to Strapped, those are pretty fun sets to be on.
No question about it. The Juice set was dope. I got a chance to say what's up to Queen Latifah. Mm-hmm. You know, she was definitely down to earth and cool and took like a couple of seconds to chat with me, you know what I'm saying? And as far as working on Strap, you know, the whole time I was pretty much with Fredro or Forrest, because Forrest directed it, and those are two great cats, so that was a wonderful experience.
How lazy was Forrest's eye back then?
Oh, that's big bro. You know, that's big brother right there, you know? To tell you the truth, I never really noticed that until somebody pointed it out, like, years later.
Me neither.
I never noticed it.
That's why I asked, but I heard it was it's a condition, though. It was not, like, something he was born with.
I'm not even knowing. I literally didn't even peep that, and I worked with him the whole time. And then somebody pointed that out and was like, you know, I think one of his eyes is a little lazy. Still looks regular to me, you know? Yeah.
So did you and Tupac become friends on Juice and then kind of stayed in touch, or?
No. It was really bizarre because when I was a stand-in on Juice, I felt somebody like pulling on me, right? Like tugging on me. And they were like, yo, Tretch. You know, and, you know, Naughty by Nature wasn't out yet at the time, so I had no idea who Tretch was. I just knew somebody was pulling on me. So I turned around, I was like, what, man? And it was Pac.
So you answered like you were Tretch?
No. Well, maybe that is how we would have answered. But them two was tight. Uh-huh, so, right. You know, he must have thought, like, since I was wearing his gear, I guess I look like Tretch to him, you know? But, you know, we all laughed about that story years later.
But he probably thought Tretch was acting funny. Like, yo, man, Tretch, get one little movie that I put him in and he's acting funny?
Exactly. Why you acting funny style, you know? Yeah.
Now, so. You wasn't Pac's I Ain't Mad At You video.
Indeed.
How did y'all two, I guess, first become friends? Was it that moment when he pulled on you?
No, well, that was just like a weird, bizarre coincidence because years later, I guess that would be about 3 or 4 years later, there was a premiere for Jason's Lyric.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, several of us were at the premiere, me, Snoop, you know, Pac, a couple other cats, whatever. And they had started a cypher in the middle of the dance floor. And, you know, everybody was passing a blunt, you know, whatever. And for whatever reason, they never got around to Pac. Like, he was always like, hey, oh. And they would go around again. And he'd be like, hey, all right. And it would go around again. So I saw him struggling with that, so I took the blunt. I was like, yeah, man, you know.
You broke up the rotation?
Yeah, I broke up the rotation. I did. And everybody was a little vexed about it, but I felt bad for him. But since it was kind of like, you know, my premiere for my movie or whatever, nobody could really say anything or whatever. So I don't know. I like to think that maybe he remembered that, you know. And then not too long after that, I got the call that he wanted me to, you know, show up to his music video set and be in the video.
Mm.
So, yeah, that's kind of how it went.
Now, how weird is it to be in Unsolved and the murders of Tupac and the Notorious B.I.G., being that you personally knew him?
It's beyond serendipitous. It's, I think it's just the way it's supposed to be. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the way I feel, honestly. Like, it feels natural.
Mm-hmm.
It's odd. Like, if I really think about it, clearly it's a bizarre coincidence. But at the same time, on the inside, it just feels normal and natural, like this is the way it's supposed to be. So, yeah.
Do you feel too close to it?
I think that what was a challenge for me is that I was alive during those times. But the memories that I had hanging out with Pac, building with Pac, working with Pac, are different from the memories that the cat that I was playing had.
Mm-hmm.
So even though everybody was alive at the same time, and I was on the West Coast at that point already, mm-hmm. I've been out there since 94, you know, I understand what it was like to be, you know, in California in 94, 95, 96, 97 and everything, how the climate was different, the energy was different, the music was definitely different. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of things that were different, but I was not in the shoes of Officer Darren Dupree.
Right.
I was just Bokeem. So there were times when I was doing my homework, it would get a little convoluted and I would have to really structure the difference between my memories and the cat that I was playing.
All right, we have more with Bokeem Woodbine. When we come back, keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We have actor Bokeem Woodbine in the building. Charlamagne?
You from Harlem, so how was it for a New York guy in 94? How was it for him on the West Coast?
It was wild. It was wild. I definitely had to get a pass. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I definitely had to get a pass. But luckily, Dr. Dre, Snoop, Magic Johnson, Yo-Yo, these are people who pretty much ushered me a pass, you know, because
they giving out street passes. No,
they just showed me love and they kind of like
they had the respect that people
they just kind of let folks know. Listen, he doesn't really understand the politics, you know. Pardon him if he, you know, steps on your shoe or whatever. You know what I mean? Because
he has the wrong colors on.
Right. Exactly. Indubitably. So they kind of put like a little shield up, you know what I mean? And then over time I started to understand the semantics and the politics of how they get down out there, you know.
You hung out with a lot of artists too, so mm-hmm. it kind of felt like you were in the music business.
I know, it's true. I had a stigma around me of, like, you know, to the extent that people almost kind of thought I was
part of Onyx.
Yeah, they either thought I was in Onyx, like the fifth member of Onyx or something like
that.
Yeah,
Bokeem got a sneaky rap album coming out.
Yo, me and Stick, because Stick, that's my evil twin brother. Shout out to Sticky Fingers. We would always joke and say, yeah, I'm the fifth member. I'm going to call myself Smiley. You know what I'm saying?
Hilarious.
Because back then, I used to smile. Not really.
A little. You said not really.
I mean, you know, look. Yeah, I mean, you know, I used to toy with the idea of getting on the mic one day, but I realized that my lyrics are just too positive, man. You know, people don't want to hear that, you know, so.
You say Sticky, your twin brother, but when I posted you on Instagram the other day, they was like, yo, man, Dave Chappelle done got buff. Like, what happened?
yo. And see, we had it worked out, right? Because Dave, that's my boy, but we had it worked out. When he was slim, everything was good. Because the joke he came up with this, he would say, yeah, I look like Bokeem if Bokeem smoked crack. You know what I'm saying? But now that he's yoked up, like people are really confused. You know what I'm saying?
Now, let's talk about the 90s for a second. Because, you know, we're in a new... Would you say we're in a new black renaissance in Hollywood right now?
Yes. With Black Panther coming out. With the show like Unsolved coming out.
The Insecures, the Atlantas, the Empire,
Atlanta,
the Blackish.
Empire, Blackish, Grownish.
Yeah.
Shonda Rhimes stuff.
Yeah.
I would say we definitely have... just recently achieved that. Mm-hmm.
Do you feel like, because growing up, you know, I remember all of this black content, film and TV world, but do you feel like y'all may have missed out as far as like mainstream? Because to me, that was mainstream back then.
Wow. Very good question. No, I don't personally feel like that. I think that, you know, groundwork has to be laid and, you know, bridges have to be paved and stages have to be set. You know, and there were so many people that came before us that really, really, you know, put the work in to even make it possible for us to make it to this place. Mainstream caught up to us, and sometimes that's just how it goes. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's no resentment, no regrets. It was just a natural progression, and I'm really, really excited for the people that are, like, in their late teens, early 20s, you know, the men and women out there that have aspirations of getting into business. It's going to be a lot easier for them now. Mm-hmm. So I think it's the way it's supposed to be.
Was it hard back then, though? Because, I mean, you were in all the great black classics. Dead Presidents, Crooklyn, Panther, Scrapped.
All right. That's what it is. Oh, that's dope.
You've done a lot of stuff.
Thank you for saying that. No doubt. I even forgot a couple of those, but not. I would say that... it was easy from 92 up until 2001, and then from 2001 till 2016, I was in a slump for like almost 15 years.
Wow. When did you do Devil?
Devil was 2009.
That was a good movie. That movie is always on cable. What I like about that movie is that I was entertained, even though most of it was in the elevator.
Mm.
You know, so I think about like, okay, it probably, being that they made the movie mostly in the elevator, there wasn't a lot of outside shots, so it was probably something that didn't have to have like a huge budget, but it still was something that you would sit there and watch and be like, oh my God, I don't know who did it. I thought you did a great job.
Thank you.
That was a good movie.
That was dope. That was like in the middle of my slump, and it was one of those things, it was almost like a tease. Like, I was like, okay, I finally got a feature coming out after I don't know how long, and it came out and nothing happened. You know what I mean? It didn't push the needle at all. And similarly, in 2003, during the challenging years, as I call them, I got an opportunity to work on a great project called Ray, about the musician Ray Charles.
Absolutely.
And, you know, the flick came out, and I think it was a wonderful flick. You know, it was really like instrumental in jumping off some people's careers, and there were accolades distributed, and there was a lot of attention on it. It was nominated for Best Picture, but for whatever reason, it didn't translate into any progression or momentum for me personally. So that was one of those incidences that really almost made me second guess whether or not I was in the right career.
Do you think that Hollywood purposely closed the door on blackness for a minute?
To be honest with you, I thought about it during the time. I think it's had something to do with coincide with Bush being elected. Mm-hmm. And the only reason I say that is because I just did the knowledge to my own experience. In 2001, he got into office, right? And then, you know what I'm saying? Those were some of the hardest years for me. 2009... you know, Barack comes into office, and all of a sudden, I get another feature.
Boom, for the first. Being black is cool again.
You know, I mean, listen.
Cabo so, Kim.
You know what I mean? Oh, that's funny. But, yeah, so that's, I don't know if that has something to do with it, but I don't think that that's a mere coincidence. You know what I mean? Because, I mean, I couldn't get hired to cross the street. I mean, I was still, you know.
Getting roles here and there.
Yeah,
but
it was just like stuff that you shoot in Eastern Europe and you see at 2 in the morning on Cinemax. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So the bills was getting paid. I'm blessed in that regard. Right. You know what I mean? But it wasn't no progression and no momentum. And in this business, particularly for a black actor, if you just treading water, you know, you probably gonna drown pretty soon. You know what I'm saying?
So what was the last big role before you so-called fell off?
Last one that I think that was anything of any kind of merit was I had a 4-part guest arc on a show called City of Angels. Mm. And then I was in a picture called 3,000 Miles to Graceland. It was like an action joint, whatever. And I think that was about it. Right around that time, everything just started drying up. Phones stopped ringing. Yeah.
So what made you not give up? Like, what made you always be ready for roles like Ray or Devil? And then eventually, I want to get to Fargo, but what made you be ready for that stuff?
For me, I think it's like, it's not something that I'm proud of, but I have a spirit of vengeance. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's the way I am. It's probably one of my characteristics I need to work on in this lifetime. But revenge is a motivator. And I'm just being straight up. So I felt as though I had to get some payback. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, and the other thing on a practical note, I don't have a plan B. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's not like I went to university and I could just be like, okay, I'm gonna go back into architecture. This acting thing is not working out. This is all I got. So I couldn't give up because there's nothing for me to fall back on, and I wouldn't give up. Because, you know, I wanted revenge.
We got more with actor Bakeem Woodbine when we come back. Morning, everybody. It's DJ NV Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We have actor Bakeem Woodbine in the building. Charlamagne?
Now, when you went into that slump, right, and after having all the success you had in the 90s, who do you reach out to? Because I know how it is, like, being in radio when you get fired, right? Nobody answering your calls. You can't talk. Like, who do you reach out to?
You know, well, I'm lucky. I have a support group, you know. Shout out to the RZA. Shout out to the big brother, Wesley Snipes. You know what I'm saying? I have, like, elders that, you know, that's family. So I can always reach out to them. And they always had some encouraging words. And, you know, they didn't sweat it. They were like, look, this is nothing. This happens to people. You know what I'm saying? You're going to get through it. So I was lucky in that. You know, I have my woman who, even though she doesn't understand the business, she believes in me so much that, like, you know, she convinced me, you know what I mean? Like, even when I was doubting myself, she kind of, like, put the little brainwashing on me and was like, you know, you definitely, you are who you think you are, you know what I'm saying? And sometimes circumstances try to make you forget who you are, but you know who you are, you know what I mean? So she would remind me. So I had a good support system.
How'd you develop such a relationship with Wesley? That's somebody, people always ask me who I'd want to interview, and I never have an answer. I would love to interview Wesley Snipes.
Oh, Wes is the man. We go back probably like 23 years now. So I just bumped into him at a party, and it was New Year's, 95. And, you know, I was a single guy back then. I was dancing with this just incredibly beautiful Egyptian woman, and all of a sudden this cat comes up and was like, yo, Wes wants to meet you. I was like, what? He was like, hey, Wesley Snipes wants to meet you. And I was like,
I'll be back.
You know, because I wanted to meet him. You know what I mean?
So I come with you.
Nah, you know.
Scared what they're gonna take him?
Well, yeah.
Terrible idea.
Are you crazy? There's a chance she might be there when I come back, but yeah. I'm not gonna bring her to meet the doc. You know. So I said, all right, yeah. So I made a choice. It was a good choice.
It was a good choice.
Yeah.
And y'all been people ever since.
Yeah, oh yeah, indeed. So
now, did you learn anything from Unsolved that you didn't know prior to filming?
Yes, what I learned from working on Unsolved is just how committed some of the cops and detectives on the case were. Because as I've said before, I remember distinctly hearing about their assassinations and then it seemed like there was just a media blackout. Like, it was just silence. There was really no coverage, no follow-up coverage. And so I had no idea that there were people behind the scenes really working hard to try to crack the case. Mm-hmm. So that was really informative for me.
So why didn't the case get cracked?
I think it did. But it's not what you know, it's what you can prove. Right. And I think that our show gives such an in-depth examination, moment by moment, beat by beat, incident by incident, that by the time you get to episode 10, the end of episode 10, I think the audience is going to know exactly what happened. Mm. But just because we know what happened doesn't necessarily mean the case is prosecutable.
Do you feel like... So now you feel like you know what happened. Did you know before?
No, I had no idea.
Until you filmed this. So yeah. We're all going to maybe get some information we all didn't know because...
I think most of the people have no real idea about what happened. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of conjecture, a lot of rumor, a lot of innuendo, a lot of assumptions. But this is the first time for the majority of the viewers, like 99.9% of the people that are watching the show, it's going to be the first time that they really see... what happened.
Didn't Pac actually speak to you once about the East Coast, West Coast feud?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Pac and I had the opportunity to chop it up about that. And one of the things that he told me that really bothered him, and, you know, he just, like, went off on a rant about how, you know, perturbed he was that there were record labels out there and executives who had no real life experience in the environments we come from,
mm-hmm.
and yet they were profiting off of this
feud.
To an extent, manufactured to an extent by the labels themselves, feud, and that there were people who were actually losing their life, you know, and that bugged them. That you know, there were folks who were dying as a result of this manufactured feud to an extent. And it really, really, it bugged him. And what his plan was to, you know, cut them off at the knees by creating peace.
Mm.
So if you have peace and there's no beef, you can't profit off the beef.
Right.
And so he wanted to bring everybody together on one record and then blow the record up and just squash everything.
Was it in the works of happening?
It was
just an idea.
It was an idea, but I think he has started to reach out to some folks already, or he was in the process of getting ready to reach out to people. Towards the end, he was so busy. Mm-hmm. He was always in the studio, and he always had another flick to do, and it was always a time crunch. I remember whenever I hung out with him, it was always like, you know, man, you know, he's always looking at his watch. Like, there was always a time issue.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So I don't think he had the time to really flesh that out. But I remember clearly him, divulging his plan to me. And I was like, wow, that's a great idea. That'll stop everything.
He knew who you wanted on the record and everything?
Yeah, he wanted Nas, Mobb Deep, Big, himself. I think the Outlaws, too. And he wanted to make like a big, like... almost like a compilation record.
They don't really destruction. Are we all in the same game?
Yeah, something like that. But instead of just one track, he wanted a whole album, so everybody could you know, do their thing, have their individual time, and you know, all respect due to everybody as an individual artist, and then a couple of tracks where everybody's on the same track. It was a great idea. I can't really describe it as well as he did, but that was his plan.
You're very skilled in hand-to-hand combat, huh? Because you box a little bit, a little kung fu?
I mean, I could always get better, you know what I mean? I have a ways to go, but I've definitely come a long way, too. So, you know, I think I'm getting better all the time.
When the last time you had to put hands on somebody?
Oh, wow. Yeah, I don't even know if I can talk about that. Can I talk about that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess I can talk.
Hypothetically.
Yeah, okay. All right. So, hypothetically, it's probably been about, like, 5 or 6 years. I was at the Indianapolis 500. In Indianapolis, somebody started grinding on my wife, whatever, and I just...
Whoa.
Yeah, I had to lay them out. It wasn't... Not something I wanted to do. It's not something I would encourage, you know, people to do. Maybe there was a better way I could have dealt with it, but it is what it is. So,
Did you give him fair warning, or he just walked up?
You're not supposed to do that to anybody's woman. Even if you're a woman standing by yourself. Yeah, you're not supposed to do that.
You don't do that at all.
He deserved it. He deserved it.
You let him know time's up way 6 years ago. Wow.
Yeah, but, you know, luckily, you know, his friends, they kept their distance because, you know, I was ready for his friends, too. And then they didn't want no parts of it. So it stopped just at that one little... You know,
flash, two-piece?
Flash knockout. Right. You know.
Quick, left, right?
No, just the left. Just
plus,
the left.
Now he's a police officer, so he can't.
Yeah.
What about the time Big, you thought you might have to get into it with Big? The one time you met him?
No, I never thought I was going to have to get into it with him, but I think he was in a bad mood. And even though he had plenty of space to walk around or whatever, I was at a bad boy party somewhere here in the city. And I just hear somebody go, yo, move, man. You know what I'm saying? And I turn and it's Big. And I'm like, man, there's all this room around here. And then just as I was starting to talk to him, it was like four, like, dudes in the Army green fatigues, you know, Brooklyn Wolves just came out of nowhere.
B-Rock, BK Rude.
You know, I was just like, yeah, all right.
So you moved.
Yeah, clearly.
Well, Unsolved comes on what, Tuesday?
Tuesdays
at
10
Tuesday
p.m.
at 10 on USA.
Yeah, February 27th.
Check it out.
Mm-hmm. Well, Bokeem, thank you for coming, man. We really appreciate you,
Thanks
my brother.
Thanks for having me, my G. Appreciate you, bro.
Absolutely. It's The Breakfast Club.
The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Now, don't forget, Charlamagne is out today. So if you want to give somebody Donkey of the Day, 800-585-1051. Now, let's get to the rumors. Let's talk new TV shows.
This is The Rumor Report with Angela Yee. Rumor has it. On The Breakfast Club.
So listen up.
Well, you all know Lena Waithe, and she was up here on The Breakfast Club before. She is the producer, screenwriter, actress. She's best known for her role as Denise on Master of None. But right now, she's best known for The Chi, for writing on The Chi. That's her show. Well, she has gotten a new show. Not only has The Chi gotten a second season, which is her show, she's also going to write, create, and executive produce a single-camera comedy. It's called 20s, and that's all based on her own YouTube series that she already has. She said, I wrote 20s back in 2009. I always wanted to tell a story where a queer black woman was the protagonist, and I'm so grateful to TBS for giving me a platform to tell this story. Queer black characters have been the sidekick for long enough. It's time for us to finally take the lead.
I'm excited about that. I really like Lena Waithe. I love what she does, and she's just a good person, positive energy. I love her.
All right, well, you're going to watch a new comedy then.
All right.
Now, Apple is also developing a series based on Kevin Durant, and that is going to be called Swagger. It's inspired by his youth basketball experiences. It's all about the AAU basketball, the lives of the players, their families, and coaches. And it'll be produced by Brian Grazer and Ron Howard's Imagine Television, along with Kevin Durant's 35 Media. So congratulations to them.
That's a dope. Now, if you ever have kids or if you're out there and your kids play AAU, you realize how difficult and how crazy and how political that AAU circuit is. It's no joke. You travel everywhere. It's all about... You know, who's sponsoring this team? What kid wants to play on this team? It is crazy.
Well, then I know you'll be watching that. Also, let's talk about Tekashi 6ix9ine. Now, Envy, you're in L.A. right now. It's All-Star Weekend. Everybody's coming out there. And, you know, there's a different set of rules when you're on the West Coast. Well, here is what one of the OGs had to say to Tekashi 6ix9ine.
What's up, Dakwachi? The only place you solid is in a mother... PC tank, and I'm gonna tell you like this: anytime that I fly out, go out the country, go out the state, always check in with the natives, with the ones that hold it down. So, by all means, homie, check in with the boy. I see you cancel one show, smart move, but I'm waiting for you in LA. Pull up.
I mean, I think it's a smart thing to and I hate the term check in, but it is check in. Like you're standing on somebody else's soil, you're in somebody else's hood. And you just want to make sure that you're okay. And, I mean, when I'm in L.A., I make sure I speak to the right people. They know I'm in town to make sure I'm good. And when I go to different markets, when I'm in Detroit, I check in with Trick knows I'm good. When I'm in Miami, I check with my Zoe, Sock Passe. Like, I make sure that I'm good. I carry too much jewelry.
All right, can
and too
I finish the rumor report?
I'm sorry.
All right, now Tekashi 6ix9ine, in the meantime, responded to this because his shows got canceled. Now he wrote, D, sucking scary West Coast clout chasing rappers want to cancel shows. I'm still coming, no shows and all. I'm going to show you how gangsters move. LA West Coast, I love you. Y'all just got bitch ass N words in y'all city. I can't even ban y'all from the East Coast because you don't even got a name or fan base to come out here. Whew, here's what else he had to say.
I respect everybody's soil that I walk on, but I do not check in anywhere I go, and it's going to stay like that. You know what I'm saying? So stop trying to tell you got to check in.
All right.
It could get nasty for him. I hope it doesn't, but he could get ugly.
Now, he also wants you to know that he did not cancel no shows in L.A. Even though the shows got canceled, we're still going to be in L.A. My brother just came home, did 10. Now he free, but we're going to be in effing L.A. If y'all want to act like bitches, we'll cut no fly zone in the East Coast. And we're F you talking about N-words, so be quiet when you're in the effing East Coast. Got crazy.
I mean, it could get very deadly. I mean, the only person I know that never checks in or just does his own thing is usually 50. But that's because 50 comes to L.A. with 50 to 100 people. But other than that, I would just, it's not even a check. It's just a courtesy call. Hey, what's up? I'm in town. That's all it is. I don't see nothing wrong with it. Like, you dealing with gangsters and real people with, yeah, if I was him, I would.
Now, do I need to check in? I've never done that.
I mean, no, but you don't carry tons of jewelry on you,
yeah,
nor do you run around
don't.
Saying that you're gangster.
Don't. Nope,
you know?
Not at all.
So you ain't got to worry about it.
And shout out to my guy Top Dog, by the way. He bought tickets for nearly 1,000 kids from 3 different neighborhoods in the Watts area housing projects to go to see Black Panther this weekend. So he
That's
is
dope.
Taking about 1,000 kids. That's so dope.
That's really dope.
All right, I'm Angela Yee, and that is your rumor report.
All right, thank you, Miss Yee. Now, Charlamagne is out, so if you want to give Donkey today to somebody, 800-585-1051, hit us up right now and let's get it cracking.
It's
right?
Your opportunity to shine.
Now, let's get into it. We've been playing this record every hour on the hour. It's called Cocky. It's ASAP Rocky featuring Gucci and 21 Savage. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
It's time for Donkey of the Day.
Donkey of the Day, ask Charlamagne.
I'm a Democrat, so being Donkey of the Day is a little bit of a mixed up.
So like a donkey? Yeehaw. Okay.
Donkey of the Day.
The Breakfast Club, bitches.
Now, I've been called a lot in my 23 years, but Donkey of the Day is a new one.
Hello, who's this?
This is Tabitha.
Hey, Tabitha, you seem pissed off. Who you want to give Donkey to this morning, Mama?
I want to give Donkey of the Day to my son's dad.
Uh-oh.
Mm-mm. Why?
Because he was locked up for, like, the past 5 years, got out, was out for, like, 3 months, and is right back in there.
Oh, my God.
So I think he deserves Donkey of the Day for that.
So he's not learning from his mistakes and his
not
poor kids missing out.
Definitely not. Mm-hmm.
But what did he get locked up with?
Charges I really shouldn't say.
Nobody knows you. What, was it drugs? Was it gun?
It was drugs.
You still with him, though?
No, I don't know. We haven't been together for 5 years, over 5 years.
All right,
geez.
Well, let's hit him with that hee-haw.
Hee-haw.
Hit him with the hee-haw.
All right, thank you, Mama. Hello, who's this?
This is Samantha.
Hey, Samantha, who you want to give Donkey today to?
I want to give Donkey of the Day to the government for not legalizing weed and making me feel like, as a parent, I have to fear for my children every day because it's no control.
Okay.
Wait, no control. I want to homeschool my children, but I can't because financially it is impossible until I'm set up to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But being a single parent and doing it by myself, that's hard.
No cursing.
But it's a lot, and that is whack. Like,
no,
I just
cursing.
Feel like we should have more options. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. I'm sorry.
All right. Well, hit him with the hee-haw. Hit the government with the hee-haw. Hello, who's this?
It's Sequoia, a.k.a. SMC_CTV.
Hey, Sequoia.
What's
that,
Sequoia?
Hey, I like to give the Donkey of the Day to my aunt and my mom's friends for going on a Facebook rant about my mom yesterday.
What
and they she don't even have a Facebook.
What they were saying about your mom, and how could she do that with no Facebook?
They were just talking mad trash about her and her life, and I'm like, yo, she can't even see it. How you gonna talk about her and she can't see it?
So you told your mom?
I told my mom. I told my mom everything. They called me RTM, Run Tell Mom.
I ain't mad at that.
You damn right I'm going to tell my mom.
All right, Donkey of the Day, 800-585-1051. Now, when we come back, it is Freaky... You're not going to help me eat?
I didn't know what you was about to do.
Ah, you know it's Friday, so you know what that means?
It's Freaky Friday. You were off, Envy.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, the Freaky Friday question is, let's talk moaning in the bedroom.
Yes, we had Jeff Johnson up here from Man Cave, and apparently Charlamagne moans extremely loud. Isn't it annoying if a woman's too loud? Because it could be, like, too much. Like, okay, you're acting.
Not me. I'm doing my job.
Well, you can be loud. Not loud and be acting. I mean, it's right. her ability to be authentic. And the moan is important.
I think I moan too much, to be honest with you.
Ew. Terrible visual.
I'm going to be honest with you. I think I moan too much.
I just saw you laying on your stomach.
Yeah, that's gross.
I got to ask you, do you like when your partner is a loud moaner, and do you moan really loud?
All right, 800-585-1051. Do you like when your partner moans? Men, do you moan? We'll talk about it when we come back. You said Charlamagne lays on his stomach. Where'd you get that from?
It was just a visual that was in my head when he said it.
Oh, all right. Well, it's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. It's Friday, so you know what that means.
It's Freaky Friday.
That's right. It's Freaky Friday. And today's question, we are talking moaning. Now, where is this coming from, Yee?
Yeah, Jeff Johnson from Man Cave was up here, and they had a conversation. Apparently, Charlamagne is a loud moaner.
What do you mean?
Like, he moans very loudly in the bedroom.
Okay, all right. I'm not a loud moaner. I don't believe you. No, I'm not. Like, I mean, I compliment my wife. So I'd be like, oh, yeah. But I don't be like, oh, wait.
What about your wife? Is Gia a loud moaner?
Sometimes. It depends how, you know, what I'm doing. You know,
do you like it when she's loud better?
No. You know why? Because when she moans, it turns me on more, and then I have to, like, think of other things so I don't.
Okay, so you do like it better.
I mean, it turns me on more, but I don't like it because it makes it my performance is not as great because I'm turned on too much.
Envy, maybe you should moan louder and it'll turn her on more.
I just don't feel like I'm a guy. I don't feel like I should be moaning. It just, what am I supposed to moan? That just doesn't seem
right.
You're
making it sound bad now. Okay.
Did that sound sexy to you?
No, not at all.
What about you? Are you a moaner?
I am, but I'm not really, really loud. I'm more like I'll talk.
What do you
moan.
Mean? So you're
like
not
I
moaning.
Talk. You
so
know,
what do
you
say?
Dirty sex talk.
Oh, she'd be like, rumor report, I'm next. Oh, that turns me on. Like, what do you say?
I can't give you privy to that information.
All right, you know what?
Let's see what everybody else has to say the bedroom. I want to hear your best moans.
Hello, who's this?
This is Marie.
Hey, Marie, are you a moaner in the bedroom?
Oh, my God. Am I? Yes, to the 10th degree. Like, if you're not moaning, it's not happening.
Let me hear it.
It's not real.
Let's hear something.
Like,
Okay, I'm a believer. All right, I'm a believer. Oh, my goodness.
And see, here's the deal is, like, I get it both ways because, like, my dude is a moaner and my chick is a moaner. So, like, sometimes I like to, like, watch the both of them go at it and, like, ever-loving mind.
Yo, yeah. Okay, you just brought this to the next level on Freaky Friday.
Wow. Now, let me ask you a question. How does your man moan?
Like, it's like a animalistic deep snarl. Like,
let us hear. Go ahead.
Like, I can't even do it, yo, because I'm not even a man.
He growls at you.
No, you gotta try. You gotta put us in there. Try. Go ahead.
I literally don't have enough testosterone for that. Like, I
just
literally have to have the part.
Envy, she's
that.
Not
like,
going to. He growls at her.
Like that?
Nah, bro. Like, it comes from the bottom of your balls. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's raw. Like, it's hard to explain, but it's real. It's all the way real. I love it. Going home.
Call him now. All right.
I ain't mad at you. Call him and her. Go ahead. Have a good time. It's Freaky Friday. Thank you, Mama. Hello, who's this?
Hi, it's Lisa.
Hey, Lisa. Are you a moaner?
I am a talker, a moaner, a screamer, yes.
Let us hear something. I want to hear
something.
What
kind of things do you say? And let me hear your moan.
Oh, baby. I love for him to tell me what it feels like to a man while he's inside of me.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right. And he tells you, right? You like guys who talk.
I didn't believe your moaning.
Yeah, because once he tries to talk, I do something to either squeeze or twist. And, of course, it's something else that comes out of him, a whole nother kind of noise.
Okay. Now,
nice.
is your man a moaner or he doesn't moan?
Yes, he moans.
Like what? Like how does he moan?
Envy wants to learn how to moan.
How does he moan? Let me hear this. Okay, go.
He'd be like, oh, baby.
Yeah, that. That was whack. All right. Thank you, mama.
Damn. You don't even moan. How you going to call somebody else moan whack?
I mean, thank you, mama. No, that was good. Anyway, 800-585-1051. Are you a moaner out there? We want to hear from you. Call us now. It's Freaky, Freaky, Freaky Friday. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Now, we're talking moaning. Now, this topic came from yesterday. Let's hear a clip of what happened.
Isn't it annoying if a woman's too loud? Because it could be, like, too much. Like, okay, you're acting.
Not me. I'm doing my job.
Well, you can be loud. Not loud and be acting. I mean, it's right. her ability to be authentic in the moan is important.
I think I moan too much, to be honest with you.
Ew. Terrible visual.
I'm going to be honest with you. I think I moan too much.
I just saw you laying on your stomach.
I'm just... Yeah, that's gross.
800-585-1051. Are you a moaner in the bedroom? All right. Hello, who's this?
Hi, this is Diana.
Hey, Diana. Good morning. It's Freaky, Freaky, Freaky Friday. We're talking about moaning. Are you a moaner?
I actually do moan, and I love when my man moans when he gets into it. So I heard the topic, and I said, let me call. I love you guys. You guys give me life in the morning. I'm always cracking up, and I always said, this is a great topic. Because I feel like if there's no moaning, then, you know, there's no passion. I'm really getting into it. I love to hear my man moan. And especially, you know, when I'm into it and I moan, it's the best.
Nothing worse than quiet sex. But does it ever feel like you're doing too much? Like you ever laugh during that? Like, what am I saying and doing?
When it's like a very, you know, intimate moment and you're enjoying it, of course, I'm not going to laugh. There are times, you know, there could be, you know, moments. Laugh, but not during a moaning.
Let me ask you a question. Can we hear you moan? I'm just curious. How do you moan?
Envy is getting off today.
I'm about to run back to the room. Go ahead. How do you moan? Go ahead. Go.
No.
Come on, do it. Do it. What's
Envy
up?
Envy is loving this. Envy.
In the moment.
Stop harassing these women.
All right. I'm sorry. Well, let me hear. You know what? Forget it. All right. Thank you for calling, Mama.
All right. We have some guys on the line. We got Anthony on the line. What's up, Anthony?
How y'all doing? Good morning.
All right, now it's Freaky, Freaky, Freaky Friday. I can't ask you this question, so I'm going to let Yee ask.
Thank you. Anthony, let's talk about your moaning in the bedroom. Are you loud?
So you speaking about me personally?
Yes, you personally.
You, man, you.
You called.
It has to be the right woman. Every woman can't make me moan.
Oh,
but
boy.
It's a plus if I do moan, and yes, I do moan loud. I'm like Uncle Shala. If it's good, I'm moaning. I don't care. And some women like that.
So you know, how do you moan?
Out with, they like it. So.
Evan, you cannot ask to hear his moan.
You're right.
Chill out.
Go ahead, Yee.
Anthony, can I hear you moan, please?
No, I can't do that right now. You're not going to put me on.
Come on, let's hear it. All right, let's do it. Just do a little moan.
I can't react.
Anthony,
it sounds like you're a squealer.
Sounds like you're a squealer.
It'd be fake, Angie. So I can't be fake. It has to be real.
Okay, all right, Anthony. We got right, John man. On the line. What's up, John?
Hello, hey, how you doing?
John, he's a squealer.
So let me hear your thoughts on moaning. Are you a moaner?
Definitely I'm a moaner, for sure.
Let me hear your moan.
Oh, boy.
Oh, you know, I don't know about that, you know.
Oh, I thought that was it. I thought you just did it.
Be in the moment, you know what I'm saying?
Now, just try. Act like you in
that
the moment
That sounded
right
like
now.
A moan just now.
Okay, try to moan. Go ahead. Let me hear you, bro.
Yeah. I don't know. I can't do it.
Are you saying or are you moaning? I can't tell.
I think he's moaning a little bit.
Yeah, just a little bit.
Well, Envy liked that. He enjoyed it. Now, if you're with somebody, do you need your girl to moan loudly?
He hung up. Hello, who's this?
Envy, you creeped him out.
It wasn't me. Hello, who's this?
What's up, Envy?
Oh, my goodness.
Oh,
now, Trav, I know you a moaner, Trav. Are you a moaner?
How do you know this?
Actually, I'm not a moaner, and I can't stand when a person is moaning and groaning. We're doing it like, shut up and just sit there.
You don't want any noise, Trav?
Now, Trav, when you're entering that back, he has to moan. It gotta hurt a little bit. It's just not going to slide right in easily.
And I'm talking about all that. Just don't do the most. Just don't be acting like you in a like you on Pornhub or something.
You're right.
Don't be moaning and groaning. Don't call me daddy. I will stop the mid stroke and ask you, do you have daddy issues? Like, don't do any of that.
You gotta loosen up a little and have some fun.
You don't know if it's loose or not. So you don't moan at all. You don't like moaning, even if it feels good, Trav?
I mean, I just don't like over the top moaning. Just don't be over the top with it, acting like you just in X videos and you just doing the most. I don't want to.
Now, Trav threw out two porn sites right then and there. I just want to put that out there. But now, Trav.
Oh, Pornhub, X Videos, XNXX.
Whoa.
I can keep going. Ran2, Boys2.
boys to what? But anyway, Trav, I want to hear you moan right fast. Go ahead, moan.
Oh, here
what?
We go.
Goodbye. Goodbye, y'all.
Hey, Trav, hold on, Trav. Aren't you single now?
Yes, I am single now. Surely am.
Okay, so Envy wants to hear you moan. You wouldn't be his little side piece?
No, stop. I'm married. Don't play. I'm a married man.
Y'all have a good day.
Goodbye, Trav.
He liked that.
Oh, my goodness. All right, what's the moral of the story?
The moral of the story is Envy and Trav would make a nice couple. Envy,
shut up.
You got to be careful, though. You can't move like that.
You better shut up. But the moral of the story is if you enjoy it, moan, let it out, scream, yell, enjoy it if it feels good.
Let's hear your moan, Envy. Sounds like a haunted house moan.
We got rumors on the way.
Yes, we are going to talk about DJ Khaled. Another first for this guy. He is definitely securing the bag. We'll tell you what deal he just signed.
All right, we'll get into all that when we come back. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Let's get to the rumors. Let's talk Lil Pump.
It's about time.
What's going on? Yeah.
Rumor report. Rumor report.
This is The Rumor Report.
Talk to him.
With Angela Yee on The Breakfast Club.
So, Lil Pump got arrested on Wednesday night. Now, he's 17 years old. He was at juvenile court. He has an ankle monitor on now, and that is for firing a handgun into the door of his home in San Fernando Valley. Now, he told cops intruders had fired from the outside, but cops realized it was the opposite. Lil Pump was the shooter and that he actually fired from the inside to the outside. They said there were no intruders. Now, according to Lil Pump's manager, three men were jimmying his front door trying to get into his home around 4 p.m., and that's when the suspects fired a gun through the door. The manager wasn't there, but he told him what Lil Pump told him. So they found a bullet hole in the front door, but they said there were no suspects on the scene. And they said that Lil Pump had been smoking weed. And after talking to him, they just don't believe his story. Here's what Lil Pump had to say.
Hey, man, we got rich lawyers. We got real lawyers, the best lawyers in the planet.
It was reported to the police that intruders fired into your house.
Hey,
is that your memory of what happened?
Listen, see my ankle? House arrest, house arrest, house arrest, house arrest.
All right, so he's on house arrest, I guess.
I thought that's what he said the first time. I thought he said that, you know, intruders came to the door and he shot through the door to try to get them away and maybe hit them. That's what I thought the original account
was. That's what his story was, but the police are saying that's not what happened. There were no intruders. He actually fired into the door and there was no one there from the inside to the outside. When they looked at the trajectory of the bullet and everything, that's the way it went. Mm. So I'm sure they're still investigating. Maybe they had some surveillance video. But then when they got there, they saw that he had marijuana in the house as well and his mom wasn't home. I don't know. He's okay. Only 17 years old. Let's not
forget
that.
But they said there's cameras everywhere, so I'm sure they'll figure it out.
All right, DJ Khaled's son has gotten a deal with Jordan Brand. First ever that Jordan has done a kids collab with their apparel. So congratulations to Asad. He posted on his Instagram, "Okay, world, here I come at Kids Foot Locker at Rookie USA, Jumpman 23, we the best music." So congratulations to Khaled for getting this limited edition Asad, Khaled, and Jordan collection.
That's really
huge.
Dope. Yeah, that's really dope.
Yeah, he's having the best life ever, by the way.
Absolutely.
All right, Matt Barnes, he was on Out of Bounds, and he was talking about a lot of different things. One thing that he touched on was Blake Griffin. Now, we told you yesterday that Blake Griffin's former fiance is suing him for palimony, and that is because he dumped her 1 week before the wedding because she wouldn't sign a prenup, and then he jetted off with Kendall Jenner. Now, here is what Matt Barnes had to say on Out of Bounds about their relationship.
I mean, Blake was a superstar before her. He'll be a superstar after her. I mean, to me, there's nothing worse than a woman scorned. So when you leave the mother of your children and you're rumored to be with a superstar, the ex is going to come after you. Like I said, with a woman scorned, there's no telling what's going to come out of her mouth. But she had nothing to do with that relationship. That relationship was crazy from the beginning. I was there, you know, and they butted heads, but they made it work because both of them at the end of the day realized it was about, you know, a bigger process.
All right, so that was his weighing in. I guess he has his own experiences.
I'm sure he does.
All right, Charles Barkley was on Jimmy Kimmel Live, and he talked about one time playing basketball and not remembering anything. Here's what he had to say.
I get a call from my agent, and he says, "You're going to the Lakers." And I was so excited. So me and my boys went out to celebrate. We started getting drunk in the middle of the day. My agent called me back about 3 hours later. He said, "The Sixers pull out the deal." And we got a game that night. I don't remember anything about that game. First of all, I was so pissed, but I was so drunk, too.
I wonder how he did that game. I wonder if he dropped 30 or if he only dropped 4. I wonder how he did.
Well, he said he has no idea what happened during that game, so I don't know. But
because everybody used to say he used to drink a lot, so I'm sure it hasn't really bothered him in his career.
Yeah, I'm sure he could have did better if he wasn't drunk playing basketball.
Right.
All right, well, I'm Angela Yee, and that is your Rumor Reports.
All right, thank you, Miss Yee. Now, everybody else, we'll see. I was going to say shout to Revolt, but Revolt's not on today. Mm-mm. But People's Choice Mix is up next. Let us know what you want to hear. 800-585-1051. Get your request in. Again, I'm out here in L.A., so if you see me out and about, say what's up, all right? But the People's Choice Mix is up next. Get your request in. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.